Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I think this is my fourth summer in a row that I've been here. It's usually around this time of year. I want to thank Pastor Luke so much for his trust in me. This is always just a great place to preach. And if there's something I've discovered, you know, with all the mask wearing that we've been doing, now I realize just, people used to tell me I'm full of hot air, and now I realize how true they've been all these years. I'm like, wow, I really like pump it out. I'm like a steel plant up in here. For those of you who want to look more later, my website is mattministry.com. That's my speaking and writing ministry, and there's a number of books, six different books for sale there, and they're also on Amazon if that's more your speed. But that'll give you a background of the ministry that I've been doing for the last 11 years. Also, since I was last here, I began a podcast. If any of you do that podcast thing, those are always almost always for free, and they're on all the it's on all the major platforms there: Apple iTunes, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, iHeart, all that stuff. It's for creative Christians. I really feel a burden to, because I've actually lived in the art world of Cleveland for the last 11 years. And how many of you know it's not like being in church? It's a little different. And I found that those two worlds are so far apart. And I don't think the Lord wishes it so, because we serve a creator. And so the podcast is dedicated towards bringing those two worlds a little closer together, and so I try to have some insights for those of you who do creative things. I hope this will be a podcast that encourages you, and it's obviously for free. Today, I want us to examine a real beautiful passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 3. So if you have your Bible, be it on your phone or the print version, we're going to have you keep that open. I'm going to be referring to it throughout the message. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm sure a lot of us have a list of places that we want to go before the Lord takes us home or before the rapture of the church, which could be today, and I wouldn't argue with that. A lot of us probably, if we haven't been, we want to go to the Holy Land. Another place that people love to go, they always want to say they want to go to Rome and see all the old historic sites. Maybe they want to go to the Vatican. And speaking of artistic things, you see, you know, amazing artwork at the Vatican, and specifically within the Sistine Chapel, which is one of the most revered places on earth. If you don't know much about it, let me give you a little bit of information. The Sistine Chapel is actually the chapel that's part of the Pope's official residence at the Vatican. It is named after Pope Sixtus IV, who had it remodeled in the late 1400s. Isn't that hilarious? Remodeled in the late 1400s. It is the place where new popes are selected when that happens. It's most famous for its paintings and its frescoes on the ceiling and everywhere, painted most notably by Michelangelo. Now, those are some nice facts about the Sistine Chapel, but that is the extent of my knowledge, because I've never been to Rome, let alone to the Vatican, let alone within the Sistine Chapel. What I told you could have been gotten from Wikipedia online. In fact, it was gotten from Wikipedia online. Wouldn't you rather talk to someone who's actually been there? Wouldn't you rather speak with somebody who could give you a sense of the room and the sense and all the appropriate things you were hearing and looking at in that full sensory experience? It's going to be a lot better than just a cold article online. You know, we're in a world that is desperately looking for love. And I think we, the church, we are meant to be the answer. I think it is our job to give the love that we have freely experienced. Now, there are two great commands of Scripture that Jesus gave us. He said all the law and the prophets boil down to these two things: love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else kind of falls under those two commands. But church, here's the thing. We cannot give what we haven't experienced. If we're not experiencing the love of Jesus Christ, it's going to come across like a cold article online. And we'll be able to maybe quote some Bible verses, but they'll be able to tell from our face and our countenance and our presence that we haven't really lived what we're talking about. We can't give what we haven't experienced. Our world needs what I call the Jesus Christ experience. That's what I've titled my message this morning. More than ever before, our world needs the Jesus Christ experience. And we are the ones to show them and lead them to experiencing that themselves. We can't sit around waiting for them to walk around a burning bush. The Lord does not necessarily operate that way these days because He has the Holy Spirit here within all of us. So we are the mobile kingdom of God bringing Jesus' love to a world that is desperate and hungry. So here's a quick passage from Ephesians 3. I'm going to start at verse number 14. Paul's writing to a church in the city of Ephesus. He writes, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources," I love that phrase, "He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is." Now look at this next phrase. "May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." I'm going to be hopping back into this scripture a few times. People may need to experience the love of Christ from me before they can experience it from Christ Himself. And we can't offer that to the world unless we're experiencing that on a regular basis ourselves. Now, we see in three dimensions, but according to our scripture today, the love of God has four dimensions to it. It is too complex to fully understand. And what I wanted us to do in these next few moments together is to examine this love that Jesus freely offers and how we are meant to be a conduit of that to our world. I think Jesus wants us to experience and to give a love that is just like the four dimensions of His love. He wants us to experience and then give a love that is, number one, higher. And by that I mean, it reaches for God at all times. Boy, it is so easy to just get stuck in this world and the troubles within it. Think of how much time you and I waste just indulging in fear and worry, anxiety. We might be getting dragged away with hypothetical situations. What might happen? What if? And it can all seem so overwhelming, almost like God is losing. And if I'm not careful, I will find myself keeping my vision lower and lower and lower here on earth instead of experiencing a love that is higher, that is always above what I am feeling and facing today. I don't know if you've ever read the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. It's an interesting book. It's written by King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. Fair warning, if you read Ecclesiastes, Solomon's not in a good place. He's near the end of his life, and he has reached some very dangerous conclusions. And he is wondering what it's all been about. Everything feels like it's been a waste to him, but there's a phrase he uses over and over and over and over again in the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's this: under the sun. The most famous of those being, there is nothing new under the sun. S-U-N. And I think what happens in my life is when I'm not where I need to be with Jesus, I'm constantly only living under the sun. I'm living a lower love than I should be. Because, folks, if you and I are just looking for earthly answers to things, we're going to be, of all people, most miserable. I have to go higher than that to a God who is always in control, who is always in power, who always does what he says he's going to do. And when you and I experience the love of God, that higher love, there is a natural reaction to that, and it's humility. Aren't you humbled by the fact that Jesus loves you? Because truth be known, boy, if you all really knew me, I could be pretty unlovable. I am amazed that he chooses to love me. It's a humbling thing. Here's how Paul says it in verses 14 and 15 of our scripture today. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and earth. Here's how the crew of Apollo 8, this is on Christmas Eve 1968. I was just an infant when this happened. Here's how they phrased it when they were orbiting the Earth over 50 years ago. Watch this.
It's now approaching lunar sunrise, and for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness.
And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning was the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day.
God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the seas. God saw that it was good. And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you.
So here are three men at the height of human achievement. Man had not landed on the moon yet. That would be the next year. At the height of human achievement, and what do? They realize how small they are and how great God is. That's a higher love. Folks, no matter how big things look to us down here, we have to reach higher and realize there's someone so much bigger. There's someone so much bigger than our mortgage, so much bigger than our human problems and our relationship drama. He's always higher and larger. Number two, I think the Lord wants us to experience and then give a love that is wider. By that I mean it reaches beyond our comfort zone. If we're living in the Lord's love, he will purposely send us to people and places outside of where you and I feel comfortable. The love of God, if we're really living in it, will not be limited to people who look like us, talk like us, and vote like us. We will be called to widen our understanding of love and who we think we're qualified to minister to. The Lord will purposely make us uncomfortable. Don't you just love that about Jesus? Don't you just love the way he makes you feel uncomfortable all the time? Isn't that great? Isn't that just the most fun part of discipleship? But folks, it's necessary. In order to make us better witnesses for him, he will make us uncomfortable and say, it's time to widen. It's time to widen what you understand. See, here's the good news, though. No matter how wide that gap is, God is an awesome bridge builder. He can connect between the two furthest points. And here's my assurance from Scripture, and it's found in verse 16 of our Scripture today. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. I have a pastor friend of mine who was pastoring a very busy Assembly of God church, and he kind of recognized, and folks, you just have to take my word for this, when you're a pastor, you can spend so much of your life involved in doing things for the church that you realize you can't remember the last conversation you've had with an unsaved person. I mean, you can go months and months because you're just doing your thing and you're getting services ready and writing the sermon and, you know, doing your programs and planning and all that. And my pastor friend, I think, was reaching that point. And he had just a deep burden for the police officers of his city. This is about 3 or 4 years ago. And so he went to the mayor, went to the chief of police, and was offering his services to be a chaplain for the police department. They politely patted him on the head and sent him on his way. But God had given him an absolute calling and burden. So he went back again after another 6 to 8 months. And they said, hey, got you the first time, but... And he kept at it for at least 2 years. And then finally, for some reason, he found favor with the city officials. And they said, you know what? I think we could use you. And so he went through all the training, a lot of the training that police officers go through. He learned how to use a weapon and learned all their techniques and all those kinds of things. They gave him a full dress uniform. And now he ministers to the police of Avon, Ohio. And who knew those 2 or 3 years ago how much the police officers of his city would definitely need ministry? But he was willing to go wider. It was so outside of his comfort zone. But God had called him. And folks, that's what I'm telling you. This is what the Lord does to us and with us and through us. If we're not getting opportunities to share Jesus, it means our love isn't wide enough. We're staying in the safe zone. But we have to remember that the gospel also makes people uncomfortable, and they might reject the message that you and I have. I mean, let's face it, statistically, that's what happens most of the time. When you and I share what we have in Christ, most will be polite about it, but they won't receive. Some might be a little more fierce than that, but statistically, most will say no. But like Christ, we don't stop stretching out. We don't retract. We don't cross our arms in order to protect ourselves. Christ had a wide love that literally stretched his arms on a cross, telling the world they were loved and whoever believed in him would not perish, but have eternal life. I mentioned that I've been living in the art world of Cleveland. I've been on the board of a modern dance company in Cleveland. We're sort of a covert agency that takes in young adults who are disenfranchised or not even remotely a Christian, and we bring them into a community of love that's based upon the Lord. And while they're learning to dance very well, we introduce them to Christ. And we have had many dancers who have come in and received Jesus. And their lives have been transformed. It's on the front lines, folks. That's on the front lines of... These are folks who will probably not go to any sort of church on their own. And one of the people I've met in my travels through the art world is a guy I will call him Josh. And Josh is not a dancer, but he works in another art area of Cleveland. He is politically, he would be described as left of left. Okay? When he posts something on Facebook, this is where you like strap yourself in because this is going to be brutal. Look out. And he's very out there in his opinions. But I will tell you, he is so filled with passion. He is so filled with excitement and vigor for everything he does. I look at that, and God just gave me an absolute burden for him. And so over the last probably 7 or 8 years, whenever I intersect with him, I'll tell him hi and I'll give him a big hug. And he's kind of a big teddy bear sort of a guy too. He's just very out there. He's like, hey, what's up, Matt? You know, that's kind of him, right? I think this guy is the Apostle Paul. I really do. I'm absolutely convinced that he's going to give his life to Christ and then look out world. I'm absolutely convinced of it. But all I've been doing for the last 7 or 8 years is being present and trying to love him very well. And even when he says things that I disagree with politically or even spiritually, because he's an atheist, I don't react. I don't just, do that thing that we all want to do. And so a couple of months ago, his boss, who I know very well, was talking to him. And this COVID stuff has rattled him. Thrown him for a loop. He doesn't know how to categorize it. He doesn't know where to put it. He's only in his 30s. He's worried about his health. And so he was talking to his boss, and he goes, man, I just wish there's so much fear in the world, and there's so much stuff going on. I wish there was just somebody I could talk to. And his boss says, well, how about Matt? And he goes, yeah, I love Matt. I'm just telling you, this is just the way he is. He's just very out there, you know? And so he emailed me and he said, hey, do you think we can get together? Which I was quite thrilled about. And so we met in his backyard one afternoon and we spent about 2 hours. And I mostly just listened because I didn't know a lot of his life story. And he's looking for answers. And I think he grew up in the Catholic Church and that didn't really do it for him. I think he had some bad experiences, or his mom did. So it's made him a little bitter towards the church, but obviously he can't be that awful to it, or else I wouldn't be in his backyard. And we talked for a little bit, and I found a way to kind of slide the gospel into there. How many of you have ever had to do that? You know what I mean? You're not going to get a 20-minute, like, let me recite 24 scriptures to you thing. You've got like a, shimmy that thing right in there, you know? And I did that. I had probably about a 2 or 3 minute window where I did that. And at the end of it, he said, well, Matt, thanks, man. Thanks for coming over. And, I'm going to be talking to a lot of people, but man, let's keep the conversation going. I'm like, yeah, man. Hey, I'm just happy to be on the bus. I told him. And I said, by the way, I just want you to know, I think the world of you. And you could tell it rattled him. And he wasn't expecting to hear that. There's something about, and it was from my heart, by the way. There was nothing put on about that. Because I've been loving this guy for 7, 8 years from afar. I was just glad I had a chance to finally tell him. I don't know where it's going, folks, but I know the Lord's in it. And it's weird. Sometimes I step outside of myself and I go, what am I doing here right now? Then I go, oh, that's right. I'm doing the wider thing. That's right. That's right. God's throwing me into situations that I'm not comfortable with, where I'm not in control. And he's saying, that's good, Matt, because now you can let me do that. There's something about the wide love of Christ that embraces all, and he wants us to be his hands. Number 3, I think we're supposed to experience and give a love that is deeper. Here's what I mean by that. It is rooted in the gospel. If you have your Bible open still, look at verse 17. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. I can't say it any more plain than this. The gospel is our root system. It's the good news that although we were an unholy wreck and deserved death and God's wrath, Jesus lived the perfect life in our place. He took the wrath of God upon himself in our place so that we can be intimate with him and have direct access to God. One person put it this way: there is more mercy in him than sin in us. I want to repeat that. There is more mercy in him than sin in us. This is our root system. And I've been saying this to Christians all over the place, because I think, especially us Pentecostals, I think we need a new, deeper appreciation for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think too, we're like, yeah, I like the gospel, it's fine. But then I realized as a preacher how rarely I talked about it. I mean, I thought I talked about it, but I really didn't talk about it. I talked about good things. I tried to, you know, bring all my messages from the Word, but there's something I didn't realize. That when Jesus died and rose from the dead and ascended back to God the Father, something amazing happened. I think one of the mistakes we make is that we think the gospel is this download that we bring in sort of into our life. But folks, it's much bigger than that. The gospel is an entirely new operating system. There's a difference between the two. There's a difference between downloading an app to this and buying a new this. There's a whole different thing. There's a lot of money, too, involved in that. The gospel is not an app. It's a new operating system. And now everything we do runs through the grid of the gospel. Everything. The gospel isn't just for friend day at church or on Easter. It's for all of us every single day. Jerry Bridges puts it this way: we need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. I need to remind myself of how redeemed I am. I never reach a point where I no longer need the gospel. I need that root system in the good times and the bad times so that I remember how much I need the Lord's grace. And there are going to be chances, folks, for all of us to just chuck it. There are going to be chances along the way to say, you know what? I'm not sure this is real. And by the way, most of the people I've known who've walked away from the Lord did it during good times, when they were succeeding. But we're all going to have chances to just throw this all aside and say, nah, I don't think it's real. There's a Christian, formerly Christian singer named Jonathan Steingard. He was the lead singer of the Christian band Hawk Nelson. And a few months ago, among a long post that he put on Instagram, he included this sentence: I no longer believe in God. Pastor's kid, been in church from the womb. Look, I'm not the Holy Spirit here. I don't want to try to play him. But one thing that comes to mind, and I keep reading and seeing these stories about celebrity Christians who have decided they'd rather be celebrities than Christians. To me, there isn't a root system. To me, there's not a root system of the gospel. How do you walk away when you fully understand what Christ has done and how much he loves you? You don't. The only way you walk away from it is if you don't think it's there. If there's no roots. That's why you and I every day need to contemplate the cross. Because it sinks the roots down. Because when the storms come and they start shaking us, I got to remember that there is a God who died for me and loves me and is never going to leave me or forsake me. And then when it's going well, I won't think I'm the source of my own success. Lastly, I think God wants us to experience and give a love that is longer. Meaning that it goes further than the world's love. Verse 19. Here it is again. May you experience the love of Christ. though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So according to this verse, God's love makes me complete. Hear this. It's not another person. There is a lie perpetuated in our world that you have to go out there and find someone who completes you. My friend, you've already found him. More like he's found you. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. It's his love that completes you. He wants us to experience his love, which ultimately makes us complete people. Besides, that makes you so much better for marriage and other things. It's when you're complete in him, not in her. Or that guy. So much of the world is searching, and no one's love is as long as God's love. He endures with us. He doesn't give up on us, even when we give up on ourselves. Look, I realize we're all imperfect in here, and we have our bad moments, but as Christians, our love needs to go longer than the world's love. It has to. We live in a graceless society that finds something that somebody tweeted 10 years ago and then destroys their life with it. That's the love of the world. The world says, I love you if. The love of Jesus says, I love you, period. We're God's representatives. Whether we like it or not, people's opinion about the kingdom of God may be because of us, good or bad. Now, I hope it's been a while, but think about the last time you had poor service at a restaurant. Hopefully it's been a long time. But maybe your server was having a bad day and they brought it to your table. And there was shortness and everything went wrong with the meal. When you left that place, I'll bet you did not say this. I am never having that server again. You know what I think you said? I'm never going there again. So here's the thing. It's not fair. I know, sometimes we just want to blend in. We just want to be very imperfect and just spout off at the guy driving in front of us. I get it. But I don't want people to interact with me, know who I worship and serve, and for them to walk away saying, I'm never going there. God help me if I ever do. And as God's representatives, we can't allow our buttons to get pushed. May I just say, some of you might need to start my car. You know, we got an election coming up. Have you heard? Been watching the news? It's been on the news. I just want to introduce all Christians to this wonderful tool called the off button. Yes. Now listen, there are people that are paid, and they're paid a lot of money to rile you up. That's their living. That's what they're supposed to do. And when you find yourself on that website, on that 24-hour cable news network, on that app, and you're going, off, off. Here's why, folks. I get it. I love this country. I want to fight for the principles of this country. I want to win souls more than I win elections. I mean, I want to do both. Sometimes you got to choose. You know, I was going to post something about a week ago. I got all like, you know, like just saliva is just ripping from my mouth. I'm just lathered. And there was nothing mean to it, but it was very, you know, very firm and passionate. And I thought a good point. And I posted it. I'm going to put that baby right on Facebook. There. Take that. And it lasted about 3 minutes. Because I suddenly remembered my conversation in the backyard with Josh. And I knew that Josh was not going to agree with what I just posted. And then I thought, oh my word, what if he reads that thing and suddenly says, he's out? All I can tell you folks is, not worth it. Not worth it. I need to sometimes know where my patriotism ends and the ministry of the kingdom of God continues. And I can't confuse the two. Because we got bigger fish to fry and the time is short. My love needs to go longer. Jesus' love was longer, to the point that after he was beaten bloody beyond all recognition and given the death penalty for our sins, he still reached into his unending reserve of love and shouted, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. That's long love. That is a love we need to experience on some level and show to our angry, triggered world more than ever. But we can't unless we experience it ourselves. Would you bow your heads for just a moment, please? As we just play some music, what I want you to do this morning is just to get an experience of the Lord's love. It's probably not the greatest venue or time period. The best is just when it's you and Jesus by yourself, but we'll do that here. Maybe it's been a while, believer, but I want you to remember how loved you are. Nothing has changed. Absolutely nothing has changed in his eyes. And I just want you to remember today that the cross of Jesus still applies to your life. And he wants you to have a fresh new experience of his love. Would you be reminded of his love for you today? His forgiveness, his grace, it's so free. Don't get hung up on what you did this week. Just say, Jesus, here I am. Here's all the stuff that's blocking the pipe. Jesus, just clear it out. I don't want to live another moment. I believe in your love for my life. Jesus, take me to that higher place again. I'm looking under the sun. Help me to look above the sun and see you standing at the right hand of God making intercession for me. Jesus, I believe in your love. Lord, would you pour your higher love upon your children this morning? Because we're your conduit. We're the channel. If people who are unloved experience it nowhere else, that they will experience it from us. Jesus, let us be so full of your love that is higher and wider and deeper and longer that it will change a life. God, make us uncomfortable this week. Widen our expectations. Take us to a place we don't think we can go to, just to show us how in charge and in control you are. We trust in you, Lord. We trust in you. And Jesus, we love you. Just want to tell you how much we love you. Without you, we can do nothing. So, Lord, I pray for your blessing upon this congregation. I pray that we will be your representatives, that we will represent you really well. Whether at the gas station, whether at school, whether in the marketplace, wherever it is, that we will represent you so well. Thank you, Lord, for trusting us with your message. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we all stand?